Just this short passage, and then we'll go into John chapter 11. On one occasion, that's not the right one, let's try this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came, I'm going to have to read it from the Bible, I lost my glasses and I'm on my old ones. So they're not really fulfilling the what they should do. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And then when we go into John 11, we've got this chapter about how Lazarus had died. And he was the brother of these two sisters. And Jesus was called by them, but he delayed. And in verse 17 of John chapter 11, we read on. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she'd said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, here we go again, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not open the eyes of the blind man? Could he not have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there would be a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Sometimes we need to reorder our lives. Can you put the first slide of the message up for us? Because the Sabbath is not only a creation ordinance, it's a redemption ordinance. And it applies to us today, just as it applied to those in the Old Testament and before Jesus came and at the time that Jesus was around. And the problem is that when we're locked into this compulsive busyness of life, we tend to forget what Sabbath is all about. It's of rest. It's of reflection. It's of refreshment, as we'll see in a moment. And there are three things we're going to see, and we're going to go through them fairly quickly because I promised Peter that we would try and finish within the hour so that you could go and have all that wonderful feast that is out the back. It'd take you more than an hour to eat that, I'm sure. And so what we're going to see are these three things. Can we put the three things up? There are moments of Sabbath to be seized. There are moments of Sabbath to be discovered. There are moments of Sabbath to be maintained. Jesus' lesson to Martha in this passage in Luke, he was saying to her, look, just be still. Just hang on a moment. Just wait. You know, I think we've probably, somebody was saying in a commentary, we've misinterpreted this passage here. We've sort of divided people into two groups. There are the Martharians and then there's the Maryolians. There are those who are active and busy and always at it and always practical. And there are those who are dedicated to reading the scriptures and praying and spending time with the Lord and doing, having that aura of kind of spirituality about them. But the interesting thing is that as we look through this, you will find that Sabbath is to be celebrated by all, as well as busyness and activity. Activity and passivity must go together in the same person. And we've tended to think, that person's a Mary, that person's a Martha. No, we mustn't think like that. If it works out like that, we've misinterpreted the scripture. Because the Bible teaches us that each disciple must be both. And we'll see that as we go through the story, these two women eventually finished up as both. The moment here to be seized was that Martha was to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to him. The key is, 9:51 says to us, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. And so he knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to die for the sins of the world. And here it was a serious time. And 2 miles from Jerusalem, he came to Bethany. And he was on his way and he wanted to visit these ladies and Lazarus. And he came and he wanted to visit them. And Martha wanted to have a big feast and a festival. And Jesus wanted to tell her, this isn't the time for feast and festival. This is the time when I want you to listen to me. Martha wanted the best for Jesus. She loved him. But he said, no, I want you to come and sit and listen to what I've got to say. And to an active person, when God says that to them, that's a struggle. I want you to cease. I always remember a church secretary who, they'd been in a pastoral vacancy, and that when in a pastoral vacancy, when a church secretary is so busy, so occupied, has loads of extra responsibility, and this church had just called a new pastor, and the church secretary says, I think I need a sabbatical. And the guy had 3 months off. And I said, good on you. Good on you. He said, we've been so frenetic. I feel so pressed. I feel so stretched. He said, I need a break. I said, good. Have a break. And he started visiting the churches, and he came to our church to listen to us, to our services, and occasionally went to another church to their services. And the church allowed him to have a sabbatical, and after 3 months he went back, and he was refreshed, he was encouraged, and he took up the work again with the new pastor coming in, and he carried on. I reckon if they'd have refused his sabbatical, he'd have resigned on the spot. Because he was coming to the end of his tether. And here was Martha and Jesus saying, look, we need to sit and listen. I always remember when my father passed away, went up to see my mother. She said, do you think we should go to church? And I said, well, it's up to you, Mum. Do you want to go to church? Yeah, let's go to church. So we went to their local church. And it happened to be one of those happy, clappy services where all the songs were wonderful, you know, and everybody was having a rave up except us, and I felt as miserable as sin. Because Dad had just died. I didn't want a happy, clappy service. I wanted to be like those people who say, look, rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep with those who weep. It was our fault for going. We shouldn't have gone. We should have listened to Radio 4 or something. No, the services on Radio 4 used to be quite good, but you know what I'm saying? And here, she had the opportunity to seize this moment of Sabbath, and she couldn't seize it. Do you know why? Because she hadn't discovered the meaning of Sabbath. And so there are moments of Sabbath to be discovered. Martha had failed to discover Sabbath. She'd not seized it because she hadn't discovered it. She wanted to give the best of Eastern hospitality to Jesus, but Jesus didn't want the best of Eastern hospitality. He wanted just a restful time where he could share with the sisters and tell them about what was going to happen. And rising indignation in Martha said, Lord, don't you care? It's unfair. Have you heard that before? Tell her to come and help me. Tell her, Lord. If she hears it from you, she'll come. Tell her. Martha, you're fretting. You're fussing about things that at the moment don't really matter. You know, misplaced kindness is not a kindness at all. There's only one thing needed here, said Jesus, is to listen. Now, it's not always going to be like that. But in this situation, it was. And Martha was starting to discover that Jesus was directing the operation. He wasn't going to tell Mary. Because Mary had chosen what was better, and it would not be taken away from her at that particular time. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12 says, I have learned the secret of being content. The word secret there can be translated mystery. And mystery in the Bible is something that is hidden. It's not sort of mysterious or a bit sort of weird. It's something that is hidden to be discovered. And Paul had learned and discovered the secret, the mystery of being content, the hidden truth. And poor Martha hadn't. And Sabbath, what does it mean then to learn Sabbath? Well, Sabbath involves rest. When you're physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually stretched and pressed and oppressed sometimes, there needs to be a physical, mental, spiritual rest. It means refreshment, like we were saying, Moses said, God refreshed himself. It means that holy pottering, as well as being in the holy presence, it means to be holy pottering around, just doing things that we enjoy doing. Maybe it's your gardening is your thing. Maybe sports is your thing. Maybe walking the mountains is your thing. Maybe sailing a boat on the straits is your thing. Or, well, the straits may not be the best place to sail a boat, but you know what I mean. You've got to watch the currents there. Refreshment. Being refreshed. It's very interesting. In the marriage course that is run by Holy Trinity Brompton that we have done here occasionally, there is a very special emphasis on finding marriage time. When a couple has to find time to be together. I always remember when we first got married, I was working shifts and my wife was working days in an office. So we used to leave each other notes. And my day off hardly corresponded with her day off. And we found it very difficult to find marriage time. Some people need to find friendship time with friends, family time with family. And then the third thing in Sabbath is reflection and refocusing. Thinking about how God is and what God has done. And refreshing and re-knocking in those nails. I don't know whether you've ever been to New England. If you go to New England, a lot of the houses in New England are what they call lapboard houses. It's like your sort of lapboard fence, really. They're all wooden houses and they're lapboard. And after a very severe winter, where they go very cold and then they go warmer and then they go cold, the sort of wood stretches and the nails start popping out. So after every winter, they have to go around in the springtime with a big hammer and knock the nails in again or replace some of the nails. And that's what we have to do sometimes in our spiritual life. One man said to his wife, I'm going to stop going to church. I can't remember what the pastor says from one week to the next. My memory is such a state now, I can't remember the songs we sing and I can't remember what the preacher preaches about. And some of us have got to that state. I have a forgettery now rather than a memory. And his wife said to him, well, over the years I've cooked for you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meals. Yes, you have, very faithfully. What have I cooked for you? I can't remember, he says. Yes, she said, even though you can't remember, they've sustained you, haven't they? They kept you going. They kept you bodily well. And that's the same with our spiritual input. In our church life, in our home group life. Oh, I can't remember. What did we study last week? Oh yeah, we started Romans, that's right. Even though we can't remember, we are being sustained. And one of the things that you may need for your Sabbath, if you're a student and you're just starting, you've got no pressures at the moment, it's all sort of easy just now, but when you get into things, Faith Cafe and evening service may be your refreshment, maybe your rest time, maybe your reflection time, maybe the time you need each week to keep you going. And so Martha started to discover, when Jesus rather heavily criticized her here, that Sabbath is important. Contemplation, refreshment. And the third thing is, there are moments of Sabbath to be maintained. This has got to go on. It's not a sort of one-off thing. It has to continue. There are moments of activity, there are moments of Sabbath, and it must continue. And in John's Gospel, chapter 11, it's very interesting, and going on to chapter 12 as well. We didn't read in chapter 12. But in chapter 11, we've got here Martha going out to meet with Jesus. You see, the problem is, in our lives, somehow we've got to combat the problem of compulsive busyness by learning Sabbath. Now, I must admit, there may be people who have to combat the problem of meditative paralysis by learning activity. And here Martha went out to meet Jesus. When Martha heard Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Well, that's about par for the course. Mary stayed at home. But the interesting thing this time is, Martha did the right thing and Mary did the wrong thing. Because Jesus taught Martha some very significant lessons about resurrection, about I am the resurrection and the life, about who he was, about who she really believed in. And Martha wasn't, and Mary wasn't there. And so she didn't learn those lessons. Verses 28 to 29 goes on. And it says, and after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. Jesus said, where's Mary? Oh, she's back at home, sulking, grieving. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And then verse 32, and Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him and fell at his feet and said the same thing that Martha said. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Did Jesus go on and teach her the lessons of resurrection? No, he didn't, because she'd missed it. She missed the opportunity. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews coming along with her, he asked, where have you laid him? He didn't answer her question. He answered Martha's question. And I think the wonderful thing is Martha was starting to learn that I need to go out and be with Jesus now. And Mary stayed at home. She missed out on something that she could have learned and would have been good for her. And then when you go on into chapter 12, this is the interesting bit as well. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. She's back serving. She did the right thing. While Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him, and Mary did something. At last, Mary took an initiative. And she had a pint of pure nard of expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You see how these women had learned from Jesus. There are times to be active. There are times for Sabbath. There are times for passivity. There are times for activity. And the biggest problem is the spiritual sensitivity that enables us to discern which is which. Someone wrote, learn the lessons of Martharitis or Mariolatry. You activists learn to become Sabbatarians. You Sabbatarians get a life and do something useful. There used to be an advert on the television for Guinness. And it used that song, The Rhythm of Life, The Rhythm of Life. Do you know The Rhythm of Life? The Rhythm of Life, The Rhythm of Life, The Rhythm of Life. And Christian writers started taking over this rhythm of life. And the rhythm of Christian discipleship is being balanced in these areas. William Wilberforce was a great Christian. He had great spiritual strength and moral courage. He was actually in line for a big cabinet job in the government. And he wrote in 1801 that of himself, he said, "My rising ambition is crippling my soul." And so he refused to have the job. And he said, blessed be the God for the day of rest and religious occupation, wherein earthly things assume their true size. He found it was important to have a Sabbath. Two of his fellow politicians committed suicide. And he wrote, with peaceful Sundays, the strings would never have snapped as they did from overtension. Does the dove of peace need to come upon your life? Let's just think about that for a moment as we meditate, as we close our service together. Think about your life, your work, the busyness of it, the deadline times, and the need for Sabbath, for rest, for refreshment, both mental, physical, and spiritual. Do you feel like Martha on the brink of a burnout, where you need to say no sometimes? Or are you like Mary, so intent on devotion that you don't relate to the real world and you always say no? In the quietness, what is God's Spirit saying to us? A Japanese Christian wrote this version of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. He makes me stop for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness which restore my serenity. He leads me in ways of efficiency through calmness of mind. And his guidance is peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timelessness, his all importance will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activity. And by anointing my mind with his oils of tranquility, my cup of joyous energy overflows. Truly, harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours. For I shall walk at the pace of my Lord and dwell in his house forever. The lesson I had to learn was the pace of the Lord brings the peace of the Lord.